Okay. Yeah. Okay. Some of the younger ones surprising me, but that's good. Yeah. Cool. Okay. All right. So we are going to read John chapter 7, verse 37 through 44. So if you want to stand, we'll read that. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Remember, Jesus said, it's better for you if I go away, because if I go, don't go away, then the Holy Spirit can't come. Therefore, many from the crowd, when they heard this saying, said, truly, this is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. But some said, will the Christ come out of Galilee? Has not the scripture said that the Christ comes from the seed of David and from the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him. Now, some of them wanted to take him, but no one laid hands on him. Now you can be seated. So I felt led to play that song because a lot of the lyrics are biblical. So you need to understand the metaphor of water is used throughout scripture. And actually, I was looking it up. I did not realize how many references to water there are, even in our own speech, even just in things that we say, you know, like a pool of thought and like all of these different things that they talk about, pool of meaning and all of these different things that deal with water. But this says in verse 38, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. And this we know, it explains to us what the metaphor, that it was talking about the Holy Spirit, because it says that this he spoke concerning the Spirit. Okay, look in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. This is our theme verses for the month. And it says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. So here we have another water metaphor. Okay, I'm going to show you a few more of these. Look in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 4. It says, the words of a man's mouth are deep waters. The wellspring of wisdom is a flowing brook. Okay, and I want to show you one more set of scriptures. James chapter 3, and we actually talked about this last Sunday morning, because we talked about the tongue and how the fire on the tongue can either come from heaven or from hell. And it's, we're going, you know, if our tongue is not set on fire and not cleansed and purified by the fire that comes from God, then it's more than likely where it's going to come from hell, the fire that we speak. So James chapter 3, verse 2 says, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Okay, just go ahead and do verse 6 and 7 too. We were going to skip to verse 8, but. And the tongue is a fire. This is what we talked about last week. A world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water? So here we have another water metaphor. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. So here we have just in these James chapter 3. We have two references to water talking about the tongue, because here we have a spring and it's talking about either fresh water or bitter water, but also it uses that the metaphor of a rudder. If you put up the PowerPoint, the rudder goes into the water. It is the part of the boat that goes into the water. That on the bottom is called an emergency rudder that people could put for a yacht. And so, but it's the part that goes into the water to steer. And so if our tongue is in the water of the Holy Spirit, is allowing that water to flow out of our heart, that the water, the living water that comes from the Holy Spirit, then that is going to change the course of our tongue, which will in turn change the course of our life and the lives of those around us. It's a very big deal. And I really feel that walking into uncharted waters, it has a lot to do with the words that we speak. The words that we speak about ourselves, the words that we speak about our families, the words that we speak to other people and around other people, because we are either spewing forth fresh water or bitter water, one of the two. And so it's important that our tongue be submitted to God Almighty so that we're speaking the right words. Because we just read how in James, how it is a really big deal. I think sometimes it's very easy for us to discount our words as not a big deal. It's a very big deal. And so when we submit, I believe that's one of the reasons why speaking in tongues is so powerful, because we submit this very powerful part of our fleshly body to Almighty God, to the Holy Spirit. Psalms 85, verses 5 through 7. It says, blessed is the man whose strength is in you, whose heart is set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a spring. The rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God in Zion. And so here, again, we have another water metaphor. As they're walking through the valley of Baca, which also means the valley of weeping, it says they make it a spring. The rain covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. One of the ways that we go from strength to strength is by speaking in tongues. Because Jude chapter 1, verse 20, and if you put up, actually just put up the next PowerPoint and then we'll go to the third one. Okay, staying right in a world gone wrong. Notice Jude 1, 20 through 25. It is very easy, even as Christians, for us to get sidetracked from who we're supposed to be, from what we're supposed to be doing, from what we're supposed to be saying. Sometimes, you know, even mid-morning, you can realize, oh my, what am I even doing today? Like, what am I saying? What am I thinking? What is going on with me? I've shared before, sometimes it's like I just wake up in a funk and I'm like, what is my problem? Why am I so funky today? You know, and so staying right in a world gone wrong, we are surrounded by sin all the time. And we have to fight with the flesh and crucify the flesh and bring it into subjection, the Bible says. And so part of the way we do that is found in Jude 1. So if you put up the next PowerPoint, this one says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It is one of the ways that we build up our faith is by speaking in tongues, is by praying in the Spirit. I believe that's one of the ways that the living water that flows from out of our belly, the Bible says, or out of our heart, one translation says, I believe that's one way that it flows out is in speaking in tongues. Another way is speaking words of life that God gives us to say for a world that needs, that is thirsty, that needs to hear the truth, that God has a plan for them, that God loves them, that God cares about them. And so those are two ways, but it's speaking in tongues is a powerful way to submit our tongue, not only submit our tongue to God, the Holy Spirit, but to align our tongue, which as we talked about earlier, is a part of us that can struggle with being fleshly. So when we speak in tongues, we align our tongue with God, the Holy Spirit, and with the Spirit, the part of us that is saved. And so, you know, we are being changed by God's presence. So when we speak in tongues, we don't have to worry about what we're saying. We don't have to come up with the right words. It is a spiritual act that produces strength in the spiritual and in the physical. My mom has shared, and I've shared with y'all before, that when she lost my brother, she said that when she was in the ambulance, when she was in the hospital, she said the people there probably thought I was foreign, because she said it was literally like a river. She said just tongues was just like a river. I remember there was one time I was at camp, and I am, you guys that know me, I am naturally quite reserved. I know it's hard to tell because I have come out of my shell a lot. I have learned how to worship. I have, you know, learned how to raise my hands, but that is not natural for me. I'm actually quite reserved by nature. But I have learned, I remember I was at camp one year and I was praying over one of the teenagers. And it was like a river. I mean, of course, it was very loud. If you've ever been at the altar at camp, it's very loud at the altar anyway. And so I was praying over this kid. Well, he was like a teenager, but I'm praying over him, you know, and I think I was yelling in tongues. Now, nobody could hear me probably because it was so loud up there. But I felt just the intercession rising up, and knowing his life and what he was going through and what his life has been, I understand why that type of intercession was needed. But there are times that we just need to submit our tongues all the time. We don't need to understand it or explain it. 1 Corinthians 14:2. And I realize that for some of you, this is a reminder. These are things that you know. But it's one of those things that makes me sad that often, even in Pentecostal churches, you talk to people that, well, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit when I was 8 years old, you know, 38 years ago, and I've spoken in tongues like 12 times since. You know, it is a vital part of our Christian life that we need to submit our tongue. And so 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries." This, of course, is different than when someone speaks out loud to the congregation. Now, I could not have planned for there to be a message in tongues and interpretation tonight, but there was. It was awesome. God knew that I was going to be speaking on this, and so he worked it out in 1 Corinthians 14. It is different when I am speaking in tongues between me and God in my prayer closet, or even if sometimes I'm speaking in tongues while I'm worshiping. But it's different when somebody speaks out loud and the service stops and everybody, you know, at that point is when you need to have an interpretation, is what 1 Corinthians 14. And we're not going to go into all that tonight just because that's not really what this message is about. But you need to understand the difference. There is a speaking in tongues in the service when everything stops, when that happens, and one person, because Paul talks about the fact that if everybody was doing that, if everybody was speaking in tongues really loud in the middle of the service, then people that come in would be like, "You guys are crazy." I mean, you know, still sometimes people from outside come in and they hear tongues for the first time and they still think, you know, a little bit crazy, you know, but that's okay, you know, because it's scriptural. And that's what I've learned to tell people is, I can show it to you in the Bible. If you think it's weird, that's okay. There are a lot of things about Christianity that in the beginning is weird. I mean, when Jesus said, "Eat my flesh and drink my blood," that was weird, even for the people back then. You know, when he said, "Come to me and drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water," that's not something that we understand naturally. That sounds weird. And so I've learned to be okay with the fact that some spiritual things, if you just take it on a physical level, it's a little bit hard to understand. It seems a little strange, but that's okay, because God is more than just a physical God. He is a spiritual God, and he will explain things and reveal spiritual things to us. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 14:18, "I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all." So he obviously believed in speaking in tongues and how important it was. But it is an easy thing to get out of practice of speaking in tongues because it might feel uncomfortable to the flesh at first. I know I had a friend, actually, that we were friends for years, and she grew up in church and actually went to a Christian college, and we were talking about it years later, and she was telling me, even for her growing up in church, that no, but you can't like speak in tongues like in your car. Like she kind of had this idea, like you have to be like at the altar or like in your prayer closet. Like it's very spiritual and you can't just, you know, do it anywhere. And I was like, that's not true. Like, you know, I mean, it is a language that God has given us to use to speak to him. Now, I'm not going to walk through Walmart pushing my buggy speaking in tongues because, you know, people are going to think I'm weird, you know, unless God told me to, but he's never told me to do that, you know, because it is between me and God. It is a time for me to speak between me and God. And so I asked Kate, could I talk to him about this? Because Kate is taking Spanish. And actually, I was talking to Lydia about taking Spanish, too. And, you know, we were talking about it because Rick, of course, speaks fluent Spanish. I am somewhere in between completely white and, you know, speaking Spanish. I'm somewhere in the middle, you know. But we've been messing with Kate, you know, because he's learned Spanish. Is it hard for you learning Spanish, Kate? Yeah, it's pretty hard. yeah, obviously. And so we were talking, I was actually talking to both him and Lydia before the service. And, you know, even for Lydia, was it hard for you learning Spanish? Kate was like, that's what we were talking about before the service. And she was like, well, it's harder for him because he's a white boy. And exactly, I said exactly. And there ain't nothing wrong with that because, you know, we all know I'm a white girl, you know, but like for Lydia, at least she has heard it growing up. But when you went to class and started learning to speak it, was it still hard? Yes. And so we need to just understand and make peace, I feel like, sometimes with the fact that sometimes speaking in tongues is just like learning to speak a new language. And if you haven't done it in a long time, it can feel the same way. It is almost like that song said, I'm diving in. Those of you that know me, which a lot of you maybe don't know this, but I do not like cold water. Like, I'm not a big fan of going in the pool. If you have a jacuzzi that has hot water, I am in. But, you know, people don't generally dive into a jacuzzi. Like, they step into a jacuzzi. You dive into a pool, why? The water is cold. And you're like, I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, get in it. I'm just going to tell you, that is how you need to be sometimes with spiritual things. Because it feels like, but it's so scary and it feels like diving into cold water and because your flesh sometimes it is cold. Like your flesh, even going into speaking in tongues, sometimes it's like, but I feel like these words are made up and I feel like this is weird and I feel like, you know, I'm not used to this. That's okay. Because, you know, the truth is I felt the same way when I started speaking Spanish. And we all know Spanish is a legitimate language. People all over the world speak it. But I felt very strange speaking it because my tongue was not used to speaking a new language. It's not English. It's not the one that I grew up with. It's not normal for my flesh. But when I submit my tongue, the reason that Spanish became very precious to me is because I married a Mexican and his parents spoke Spanish. And so I spoke a lot more Spanish. And one thing that I learned is when his parents would visit for like 2 or 3 weeks, my Spanish improved by like a huge percentage. By the end of the time they left, I was thinking in Spanish and translating in my head because I was using it. Why? Because I care about the people who are there and I want to talk to them. We need to care about the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit. It is not just about a spiritual act that we do so that we can look or sound spiritual. It is about a connection with God Almighty that God designed for us to have. And so I want to show you Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 7. And then we're going to end a little different. Growing up in church, I'm just going to tell you this before we read this. Sometimes I feel like receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit or speaking in tongues, the experience of trying to receive it can be very awkward because you feel like you're trying to speak in tongues and sometimes people are waiting for you to speak in tongues and it just kind of, the whole thing can become very awkward. But listen, what we have to understand is ultimately it is about us and God. It is about me taking your word and going, God, if you will speak to me, if you give me words to speak, I will speak them out. Even if it sounds weird, even if I don't understand it, even if it feels strange to my flesh, I will do it. It is really that simple of submitting our flesh. But I do believe we need to understand that it is God's will and how it comes, that it's not about us. It's not about us figuring it out. It's about Him speaking to us and us being obedient. And then you do not have to feel spiritual when you do it. I have been amazed at how God will give me sometimes a picture or a word. In fact, a picture that God gave me about the church this past week during the fast. I almost was like, God, was that you? Because sometimes there is so little fanfare that you can miss it. Like, there's no hallelujah chorus. It's not like, you know, you hear and you see an angel. Sometimes, you know, you might feel the presence of God. Sometimes you might get goosebumps. You know, like Janine was talking about at the ladies' convention. Sometimes you might not. You might feel nothing. Sometimes when I speak in tongues, I feel absolutely nothing. But it's not about that. That's what we have to understand as Christians, is that when we have the feelings that go with the spiritual experiences, great. If we don't, it doesn't matter, because it's not about the physical feelings anyway. It is about submitting ourselves to God Almighty, who wrote this book and who said it's a good thing and who gave it to us as a gift, who gave the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues as a part of that experience. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' And they said, 'Into John's baptism. Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." It's very interesting to me, this whole story. You notice there's very little fanfare. It's like, do you understand this? Have you heard about this? And they said, no, we haven't even heard about it. And he said, explained it to them, laid hands on them. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't have to be, you know, a lot of fanfare. And so I just wanted to read, I want to read you one other verse, but I didn't put it in my notes. So give me just a second. Luke 11:11. Okay. "If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish?" Hopefully not. "Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" So I want to end, as I said, a little differently tonight. First of all, I just want to take the pressure off. Because like I said, sometimes receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I feel like it becomes a pressure thing. It's not about you. You know, when somebody gets baptized, Jesus is the baptizer. In fact, in Matthew, it says when Jesus was baptized, John said about him, "There is one coming after me. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." We don't baptize ourselves. Jesus baptizes us in the Holy Spirit and fire. It's important that we understand that. Number two, you don't have to come up with something to say. If you don't have anything to say, you don't say anything. But when you ask, you do have to listen. And I've shared this before, but I'm going to share it one more time before we listen to this song. I was at camp and I was praying. And believe it or not, I used to get really, because of everything that I've shared already about the pressure thing, I used to get really nervous about praying for teenagers at camp for the baptism of the Holy Spirit because I didn't know how to do it. I thought, I don't want to make them feel awkward. You know, I don't know if I'm supposed to wait until they start speaking. You know, I mean, I just wasn't sure how to do it. But I finally learned the Lord uses different people, do things different ways. God uses us in different ways. Well, for me, I was praying with these three girls. Two of them were not from our church. actually, none of them might have been from our church. I don't remember. And two of them had, I just laid my hands on and prayed over them. They started speaking in tongues. One of the girls didn't start speaking in tongues. And I knew her, like, just from that week at camp. And I knew she had a relationship with Jesus. And so I just stopped her. I said, "Sweetie, are you hearing anything in your head? Like, are you hearing any words in your head?" And she went, "Well, I keep hearing these three words, but I just know that they're from the lady at my church that gives a message in tongues in my church." And I said, "Okay, first of all, I do not believe for one minute that you have somehow memorized the woman's prayer language who gives a message in tongues at your church. Second, that is the lie that the enemy uses with everybody. Like, when I started speaking in tongues, the first thought I had was, you are copying your mom. You are speaking what you have heard her speak all that time. So just remove that from your head, because even if you are copying somebody, it doesn't matter. The truth is, maybe there's a word from the unknown tongue that you're speaking as a word from the unknown tongue that they're speaking. That's the same. There are words, I mean, no is the same word in a whole bunch of different languages. You can say no in a bunch of languages and people will know what you mean. That doesn't mean it's a fake word, just because people from all different languages and tongues use it. So even if we do have some of the same syllables or words, that doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't matter. So just take the pressure off. And second thing, I want to challenge you. This is not an age thing. The younger that you are baptized in the Holy Spirit and learn to speak, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So our children don't have to be mature to be able to understand spiritual things. I believe God baptizes children in the baptism of the Holy Spirit just as quickly as he does adults. Sometimes they speak faster because they have less, you know, worry and concern and all of that kind of stuff. And so I just want to challenge all of the children. If you have never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want to be, just ask God. Just say, "God, I want everything that you have for me. I'm just asking you to baptize me with the Holy Spirit." And if you hear any words in your head, you just speak it out. It is that simple. It is not about, you know, making it more complicated than it is. It's not, I mean, we, most of the time, the way that I hear the voice of God comes from a thought in my head. I have never heard God say, "Shedden, I want you to go here." Every time that God speaks to me, it's a thought in my head. And sometimes the thoughts happen so quick, and there's, like I said earlier, there's so little fanfare to them that I think, "God, was that me or was that you?" And so often we discount what God is speaking to us because we think, "That wasn't God. I just made that up. I just want to speak in tongues, so I just heard those words." If you are a Christian, God the Holy Spirit already lives on the inside of you. It's not that hard for him to speak to you. And so if you are hearing something, more than likely it's coming from him. And, you know, when Jude speaks, I don't go, "Seriously, you can't say that better? You know, why are you saying it like that?" I love to hear him speak just because he's speaking to me. And so I just want to challenge you. If you have never been baptized, or if you've never had someone lay their hands on you to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and I want to invite you to come up, because the Bible does talk about laying on of hands. If you have already had hands laid on you before, and you have already sought the baptism before, you don't have to come up here. You can pray right where you are. And we're going to play this song. And this is a song I specifically felt led to play. And so as this song plays, I just want you to just focus, you and God, and saying to God, "God, would you just baptize me?" And if there is anything spoken, like I said, it's not about making it loud or boisterous. It is between you and God Almighty. And so, as I said, if you have never had hands laid on you, we're not going to make a big deal about it. We're just going to lay our hands on you and ask God to baptize you. If you have already had hands laid on you and you have already prayed, but you have never spoken in tongues, and you want to sit right where you are and just say to God, "God, you are the baptizer, Lord Jesus. Would you baptize me in the Holy Spirit?" As this song plays, I invite you, wherever you are, just to invite Jesus to baptize you, because I do believe that as we submit our tongue to God, there are supernatural things that take place in our spirit, regardless of what we feel in our flesh. So you play that song.